This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
It's a friend of mine. His name's Tim McKenzie. He does that. I got to talk to him, spend some time with him. He'll stand up and for over 3 or 4 hours, he'll just be able to quote scripture like that. And he's put it to the backgrounds of some just beautiful things and speaking so important about what the Word of God is in our lives. Amen. I'm thankful for his presence. I'm thankful for us corporately coming together. I'm thankful for what he's given me. I'm thankful for my family. But more importantly, I'm thankful for this. Come on. And if this must be important in your life. This has to be your standing. If you don't have this as your standing, you will be moved and you'll be shaken and you'll go with the wind. But as our standing, what anchors us, come on into his love. So praise the Lord. Well, you know, as we go today, we enter into September 2018, and I have to bring remembrance at the end of this month on the 29th. It's a Saturday evening, and then coming into our morning service the next day. We are celebrating, as a church, 40 years. Come on. Well, that's probably how you feel when you turn 40, too. You know? It's not over the hill. It's not a dark birthday. It's not where the Word of God speaks very clearly about 40 years coming in. Amen. And you're going to see, and this isn't just because in the spiritual realm and the heavenlies, you're going to see some things this month that God is going to ordain. And, you know, as we come together, we have some local pastors in our city that's going to be speaking that night. You'll also hear some special guests. I believe that the Lord is going to really do something mighty on that evening. I think he's going to let us go through one season and heading into the next. But really neat today, Mrs. Davis is with us here. And, you know, just go ahead. And I know her children, her daughter's here. But Miss Davis is very special. And a long time ago, not that long, come on. yes, they had a bookstore called Good News. I don't know if you remember that on 36 right there. And I'm thankful for her and her husband. This is what the Lord is going to do. He's going to bring friends of the ministry over the next month. She didn't even know that we're going into the 40 years. But the Lord is special. The Lord is good. Amen. And I'm a friend of my mom and dad's. And so we just welcome you. I know that your daughter's here. Amen. And her children, her husband. And they're missionaries into France. Is that correct? And so, sir, if you just come and share a minute about what you are doing, we'd love to have it. I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but when I saw that he pastored a church for 20 years, maybe I should hand the mic over to him. Amen. Let's greet him in the name of the Lord just quickly. Yes.
You're welcome to come.
Praise the Lord. I'm just going to say hello. Boy, it's good to be back. You know, when I left Texas 25 years ago, I went to Bible school and I met Mark and we moved to Kansas. And I was very rarely back on church days because we were there. And so it's good to be back. It's good to be back. My, what God is doing. You know, I watch on, I've been friends on Facebook for a while, and so I've kind of watched, and you know, I've been through the ups and the downs. Keitha and I were one day apart. I was born on July 1st. She was born on July 2nd, and she was always a good friend and special to me. And so, though I was at a distance, I hurt with you, I rejoice with you, and I see the goodness of God now. I mean, I see the goodness of God. I see what's happened. I've seen how this church has thrived. It's gone forward, and it's faced adversity with the help of the Holy Ghost in the Bible. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise today. It's all about Him, and we're honored that you would just give us a chance to greet the folks today. And we are, we transitioned, and me talk about transition, so we understand that process. So we're gonna celebrate with you, and we don't leave until October 1st, so maybe we can drop in here before we head out again. But transition's powerful. You know, that caterpillar transitions into a butterfly. And I believe I'm looking at people that are in transition, that there's just beauty coming to your life. There's just a greater season of beauty and fruitfulness. And, you know, the real testimony is a life that's been transformed. And there's a lot of people outside these doors. They need that transformation. They need a heart that's transformed by the love of God. And we're delighted, we're honored to be sent by the Holy Ghost to a nation of France, into Europe, where there's less than 2% people who even know what being born again is, or even know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we're honored to be sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and we're honored to be here with you today. And we honor you, Pastor Darren, and your wife, this wonderful congregation that's shaking this county with the power of God. Amen. Come on. Jesus is Lord here in Houston. Jesus is Lord right here in Fort Bend County. Come on, we declare it today. The most important prophet is you. I mean, you declare it, you speak it, you live it. And praise God, the power of God can be in our homes, and our homes can become sanctuaries in the Garden of Eden once again, and that which God wills can grow in our homes. And if something's broken or something's hurting, God can redeem it. Amen? If something's broken or wounded or been stolen, it can return. The years, I just feel this in my spirit, the years that the locust and cankerworm have eaten, God can restore it. Somebody take hold of that word today. You feel like years have been lost, and that puts a shame on you, and that puts a guilt on you, and that puts a fear on you, that puts a hopelessness in you, and that knocks on your door with depression. But I'm here to declare today that those years can be redeemed. Those years can be redeemed in a day. So take hold of that word. I just give that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Darren, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. If they're going to be here for a month, we'll have them come on in. Amen. Yeah. I love what God does and how God puts things together. And I know that y'all saw, Miss Davis, that sign in the front that says, Jesus is Lord. I know that you've seen that many, many, many years. And my mom always told me, Darren, if you ever take that sign down, the whole building's going to fall down. So that thing will be up, and boy, it's up there secure. I'll never forget those guys putting that up many, many years ago. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of James. As I wanted just to play, as I played the word there just for a few minutes, just letting us know that the word is our standing. And we have to hear this. We have to know this, because see, in our culture today, many people have phones where the Bible is on it. Many people have Bibles. They're all over the place. They're all over our homes. We have a lost and found here that has Bibles in it. You know, there's Bibles everywhere, but if you're not picking up your word, and I'm okay for you to do it over the phone, I like a Bible though. If you're not picking it up and you're not applying it in your life, and it's not your standing, and you don't know about this, see, it's not only enough to just hear about it. It's not only enough just to have someone come and feed you today. Praise the Lord for feeding. Amen. Boy, I'm thankful for eating. But this is something that I have to say. I don't even remember the last time someone fed me. I can feed myself. Amen. But there was a time where, yes, I did need to be fed. And praise the Lord, there's feeding going on. And it's a corporate feeding that will come on. But if you're not feeding yourself, you're going to be malnutritioned. Amen. You're not going to be able to move forward. I'm so thankful in the Word of God about the manna, come on, that came to the Israelites. Amen. Thankful for the manna. That word in Hebrew is, what is this? What is this? What is this fallen from the sky? What is this? But it was something that had rules with it. Amen. It was something that came from heaven, and it was something that fed the people. And some of the rules that were with it, what? You couldn't store it up. Why? What would happen to it? It would spoil, it would decay, and on the day before the Sabbath, you'd get enough for the Sabbath. But that just kind of lets us know about the spiritual feeding, the spiritual manna that we have to have. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for where Jesus was born, the Bethlehem. Anybody know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. I'm so thankful that in that house of bread of Bethlehem, the bread of life came. And I'm so thankful that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, is able for us to be feeding on him spiritually. We have to be careful not to think, oh, I can read all day and night and then go a whole month without reading. Why? We have to look at the example because it's just going to decay. I need a feeding every day. Come on. Are you with me today? I must have it every day. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks about spiritual disciples. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for so many people that go out. And many people will say, they'll say these things. Oh, we have a problem because no one's preaching the gospel today. You know, a lot of, it's not the gospel coming from the word. Many, many things are said like that. But I believe that the gospel's preached by me and you. Amen. I believe that I step into Walmart and the gospel goes into Walmart. I believe that the gospel's prepared with my family. I believe that as I go out to the workplace, the gospel's there. And I better know the gospel, amen? I can't just talk about a feeling. I just can't talk about how something happened. I just can't talk about my mom and dad's gospel. I just can't talk about what I saw on Sunday. I have to talk about what's in the inside of me and what's filling me up and what's coming out of me. That's what the gospel is. So I don't feel that there's a whole problem with the gospel. I'm thankful how it's being preached. We have a problem with making disciples. That's our problem. Because see, it's not easy work to make a disciple, amen? Because first of all, you have to be a disciple to be able to make a disciple. Many of us are trying to make a disciple and we don't even have the word on the inside of us. And we're moved when the wind comes. And we're built on the sand. We have to build our foundation on the rock. The rock is Jesus, the author and finisher. The one that created you has a bestseller. Come on. And his bestseller's here right in front of us. Have you cracked the cover of the bestseller? You can't read the cheat notes of it. You can't just read the front and the back and get it. See, it's inwardly coming in us, setting us free. How many of you have been set free by the word? Come on. As we're going to go out and make disciples, see, the making of disciples is that I need to be actively always making disciples. I'm so thankful that I can preach, but this isn't all about how we make disciples. Making disciples is coming together, breaking bread with each other, coming together, opening the word with each other. Come on, are you with me today? Having a Bible study together, keeping each other accountable to what the word says, being able to let me come in and share where my life is, where you are with that, what you think about that. That's what making disciples are. And if you haven't been part of a group like that, if you haven't been part of a few people like that, I'm telling you, there's growth that can come like that. The greatest growth that I've ever had is in discipleship making. Amen? I know some of you guys are going into a prison and you're a mentor there. And you know, you're a mentor and you go in and you see that guy and you're going to see him every week. You have to have something to give him. Amen? This guy is still wearing white. He still has years he still has to serve years. And he's depending on you coming in to disciple him. You can't just come in. I can't just come to this pulpit and not have something to give. I can't just come in relationship, in discipleship, and not have something. And so in order to have something, we have to give something away. You hear me today? See, this thing about having disciple, if you've never discipled someone, then you're holding back of what God wants to do in your life and how God wants to come in you and through you to give to other people. I'm so thankful for the demonstration of Paul and Timothy. And he speaks really clear. And he speaks about to go out and find what? Faithful men. Amen? Invest in faithful men. Why? Where those faithful men will go out to others and also invest in them. This is the model of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Oh yes, go out to Samaria, to Judea, to all the parts of the earth. That can sound pretty far. We have a couple here going out to France, praise the Lord. But for many of you, you'll never go to France, but you'll go to work every day. Come on, that's your France. Come on, you have to hear this. Who are you discipling and how are you leading them? I have a guy that I'm around almost every day, and the only thing he can talk about, the only thing, is sports. He'll never say anything else outside of sports. He'll like do this to me and call me from way over around the room. Did you hear about that new player at Duke? Yeah. He's giving me stats. He's giving me, I mean, there must be a player at Duke right now because this is all he's talking about, you know, a freshman. Is there one, Jairus, a good freshman at Duke? I know Jairus because he's the other one that talks sports with me. So praise the Lord, I listen to him about sports because that's our relationship right now. And I'm going to listen to him. I did a little research about who he's talking about where I can talk a little bit back. But very quickly, I'm going to put my foot in the door. And at some point, somewhere, I'm going to say, hey, man, I'm glad that we love sports. I look forward to going to a game with you. But I must ask you a question. Amen. Come on. Amen. And see, wherever the Lord leads for that, it's going to be important. You know what's very difficult of making disciples? For me to be very constant. For me to be steady. For me to be stable. Not for me to be unstable, double-minded. Come on. I can't just do it when I feel good. Man, I can't just do it after I get this time of mighty worship. Because as the Bible is read today in the book of Job, we are created for trouble. There's trouble all around us. There's going to be things that happen to us all the time. And as the word speaks clearly about offense, all of these things, see, you're going to have to position yourself and you're going to have to learn how to be stable in Christ. He is stable in me. He doesn't move. He's not moody. He's not emotional with me. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Come on. And so I can go out and I can make disciples if I feel like it or if I don't. Come on. Can I be open with you? I can go out and make disciples if I'm fasting. Man, I don't know about you, but boy, that first day of fasting, someone always brings Shipley Donuts. If I wanted to see Shipley Donuts, I just go on a fast, and I guarantee you it's coming that next morning. The guy's telling me, man, it's hot. The guy that likes sports, man, let's talk sports and eat a donut, you know? The book of James speaks really clear about trials that we're going to go through. I'm thankful that the Lord's going to allow us to go through trials. Sometimes me and my wife get into a place now that when a trial comes, we just look at each other, we kind of laugh, and we say, he'll be faithful. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. See, if we're not stable in these things that happen to us, then I'm really only good on Sunday. Come on up and get charged up. Come and have amazing praise and worship where, you know, these guys have gotten here early. They've done devotion. They're praying. Their life is that type of worship. And we come into that presence. Other people are calling on the Lord. The Lord comes and it's mighty. Amen. But when we walk out and I go to my car, what's playing? Or what's next? And see, I can only be as good as what I'm receiving from the Lord. So if I'm not receiving it daily and I'm not stable daily, come on, in his word, then I'm going to be like this as a discipler. I'm going to only be able to do it when I feel good. My dad spoke to me clear, and he said, okay, son, you need to grow. I'm thankful for a dad. Amen? And you don't need to grow this way, this way, this way. You need to grow, and I'm going to help you grow. And he looked at me, and he said, I'm going to start a church in Houston. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. You're going to have to go two times to preach, you know. You want me to drive you back and forth because you're the preacher, amen? And he said, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach for a couple of months, and then you're going to be preaching there. I'm like, wow, you know, boy, I can preach a good message once a month. Come on. Boy, every once a month, I can get up and sweat and spit and... But see, my dad knew I needed to grow. And I'm telling you, Sunday comes really quickly. Sunday, 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 Sunday. I can't just come up here and just act like I have something. I have to have something. I have to have it. And I figured this out. I can't just get it on Sunday. If I don't have it on Monday of tomorrow, there's no way I'm going to have it next Sunday. I have to have it every day. I have to feed myself spiritual manna every day. I have to be careful not to overdo it. Man, I'm going to listen to the whole New Testament tonight because that's just going to fade away. It's just going to rot if I don't apply it, if I don't get out there and do something with it. Someone said today that we're spiritually fat. See, I could hear that and I could say that. I could see that because we have a lot of things. You go into the bookstores today and, man, you got every writer and it's amazing what God is doing. But are we spiritual fat? Because what are you really obtaining today with the preach that's going on? See, they say this, if you don't have a little pad in front of you and writing down some stuff, then only about 4% that you're going to receive today, you're going to be able to retain. So 96% just goes out the door. Are we fat? Come on. See, there's a lot that we can have, but how are you eating it? How are you receiving it? Let me tell you, if we're going to go to the buffet today, you're not going to be shy. You're not only going to get 4% of the buffet. Am I in the right group? Am I in the right group? You know, just going to move past all the meats and just go over here to the rice. Just got to take the rice today. We have to hear this because, see, in our steady walk with the Lord, I better not be raising my kids being in an emotional, unspiritual, unfed man of God. The only reason only way I can be a man of God is if I'm going to God. And if I'm receiving from God daily. And if I'm allowing Him to fall down at my face, repenting, saying, I'm sorry, I missed the mark. God, help me, fill me up. The greatest prayer I've ever prayed was, God, help me. I need your help. I don't have words anymore, God, I just need you. And I'm telling you, it's not all about the words. It's about your heart. It's about God coming in and breaking through darkness. It's about where you are and allowing God to come and start picking up the pieces and putting you back together. See, what He's done for me is too good for me just to have it on Sunday. What He's done for me, it's too good for me to be just emotional with it. It's too good for me just to only give it when I feel good. And when I don't feel good, I'm just going to hide myself. It's not about feeling good. It's not about timing of it. It's about being constant. It's about being stable. Are you with me? It's about feeding in the Word daily. It's about the Word of God is my standing, and I will not be moved. The reason I'm bringing this out here, the book of James chapter 1, let's look at 2 and 3 just quickly. Let me have a moment. I got a new Bible here. There we go. Thank you, God. Just you've heard this so many times, but let's continue with it here. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Boy, I love the word pure joy. Come on. Consider it pure joy. Today, Clark came to me, and Clark said, you know, today's my birthday. And I'm like, boy, happy birthday. And he goes, today's the day I got a heart. 4 years ago, Clark got a new heart. You talk about pure joy. Clark, this last week, not lost her because he knows where she's at. How old was your grandmother? She's 101 years old. His grandmother left this earth talking, full of wisdom, closed her eyes, and entered into heaven. Boy, I know Clark was really close to her, and I'm thankful, Clark, how you treated her and how much time you spent with her. It didn't go in vain. Amen. And she still lives on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. But boy, pure joy came to me hearing about Clark. And not only just hearing that today's a day to celebrate, but see, Clark yesterday was with a friend of mine that just got a new heart about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Come on. Open heart. Had to get his old heart out and put a new heart in him. Some of us spiritually have to have, all of us spiritually have to have that done, but we have Clark and another brother that has someone else's heart beating on the inside of them because God placed it there. See, so pure joy, praise the Lord, pure joy. I can just think all day and be joyful about Clark. Come on, you with me today? Let's look at this, what it says, pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produced perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so praise the Lord for being mature and complete, that I'm not going to finally have someone come into the lunchroom and say, well, who is this Jesus? And at that point, I'm not mature and I'm not complete and I don't feel good. And I'm sick, and I'm like, well, he's a good guy. Come on. I have to be positioned. I'm so thankful that I had a coach teach me the importance of a position. Not only the importance of a position, but the importance of how you play your position. The importance of the very basic things that you must do. You must move this foot first. If you move the other foot, you're going to fall down. You have to move it first, and you need to be faster moving it than anyone else. And then you've created leverage. Come on. A lot of things and just the basics. See, the basics of me being prepared that I'm going to go through trials, that I'm going to be offended, that things are going to happen to my family, things are going to be said about my kids, things are going to go on, but I will not be moved because he's not moved on the inside of me. He doesn't change. He's not changed in me. And I will be prepared because I'm positioned, amen? Some of you go to the gym. Praise the Lord for those gyms. They even have them 24 hours a day, don't they? 24-hour fitness. Is that what it means? I haven't been there in a while. Praise the Lord for the gym. And we can work out physical muscles all day long, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to gain mass. They're going to get bigger. They're going to be able to carry more. They're going to be able to do more. But if you're not working out spiritual muscles, offense is going to take you down. If you're not working out spiritual muscles, these trials, you're never going to be able to count it all joy. See, I'm just believing that in this season that the Lord has us in, we'll be very, very stable in what he's called us to do. Come on. We will not have a prayer time where one shows up and then the next week 15 show up. I understand business. I understand schedules. But we'll have some things where the body is asked to show up. Guess what? We'll show up. There's a showing up power. My dad would preach about it all the time. A showing up power. And on the inside of me, almost every Sunday, it's not so much what I'm going to receive. See, I've done Sunday a long time. I will receive. But it's what I'm going to give. I start thinking about Sunday. I start thinking about the people around me. I start thinking about the things going on around people. And I start thinking about, I can't miss that Sunday. I need to show up. And not only Sunday, I need to show up. See, I need to show up on a Monday. I need to show up on Tuesday. I need to show up and be prepared that the gospel that lives on the inside of me, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is in me. That when I walk in and the doors open at Walmart, I'm thinking, man, Jesus, you must have just opened those doors. Come on. Trials. What is a trial and where does it come from? First of all, we have to hear this. Let's define the word trial. Our diverse temptations. A trial is a process of putting to test. A process of putting to test. I heard someone say the other day in a class, he said, you know, you will have to take tests. If you didn't have to take tests, why do we even have a class? I mean, in this world, because of sin, we will be put through tests. The first thing we have to know is that God's not putting us through a test. Come on, I'll show you. A trial is a process of putting to the test. We usually think of it as a legal trial in which evidence examined to determine a person's guilt or innocence of crime. But when the Bible speaks of a trial, it is more like the test
run of an automobile or a boat or the test flight of an aircraft. Spiritually speaking, a trial is a testing of a person or thing in order to establish his or its worth in actual performance. That's what it is. I've been through trials. I've been through tests. And now on this side of many, many trials and tests, I know that there'll be other tests coming. See, I have flesh and blood that I've lost in the war. Flesh and blood that I've lost in this battle that we're in. And so I'm not hesitant. I'm not a hesitant person. See, I look at the enemy and I say, you've messed with the wrong person. Because greater is he that's in me than you. But see, knowing that we live in a sinful world, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Come on. We have people that are sitting in the room that have lost children, lost a son. I don't know how it would feel, be, to lose a child. But God does. So I'm not just running out looking for trial. I'm not just running out looking for testing. I'm not just running. You come on and beat my chest and say, come. But I'm standing. And I'm thankful. I think I said this when I stood up here and was looking into my brother's casket, hearing his children right behind me crying. It was going to be the last time they're going to shut the casket. My mom, I just could never even hear someone cry like she was crying. And my dad came up behind me. And he whispered and he said, son, you're going to have to stand. Many people will sit, but you're going to need to stand. You know, and I received that from him. See, many people, the enemy can come. The enemy is the one that brings a test. Boy, if he can just get me to sit down, he's going to get me to sit down every week. He doesn't want me sitting in these chairs. If he can pull me out of these chairs and put me in other chairs, that's what he's going to do. He can't stand a stable. He can't stand a non-compromise. He can't stand. Do you hear me? He wants us unstable. He wants us double-minded. We're ineffective if we're like that. He can't stand someone that's feeding in the word, that's prepared and ready to go out and to make disciples, share the gospel. He can't stand, so he'll come hard with tests. But I'm telling you, you can count it all joy when you feel that test coming, because this is what I think. Oh, I'm just going to stand because I must be doing something right. Because he wants me to take a step back. He wants me to sit. No. It's like him coming fishing. You know, some of you guys like to fish. You've heard this about Philip. He has a boat that's called In the Word. Praise the Lord. I love it. Now, I can easily say that because I know this brother's in the Word. But every once in a while, he's in the Word fishing in his boat. I'm thankful. Thankful for that. But the enemy's like, if me and Philip go and we catch fish, the next time we go, guess what? We're going to the same place because we know there are fish there. And we're going to use the same bait because the last time these fish loved that bait. So let's cast the same thing out there. Come on, you with me? We know there are fish there, so we might have to change the bait. The enemy's the same thing. He knows how to come into a weakness. He knows where you was caught the last time. He knows where your weakness is. He's going to use the same bait. All of us are going to have to get through with Christ these three major things: power, sex, and money. All of our downfalls are when one of those three things. So the enemy knows which one he's coming fishing for. Well, he's like one of those casts, just perfect right there. Put it right where you're fixing it. Just bite it. Boy, my brother could cast right where he's going to tell me. And then I throw it and got all kinds of wires, all kinds of backlashes. And he could just put it right there. The enemy can just put it right there and make it look so attractive. But see, when that comes, I think, count it all joy. He's not going to move me. He has to at least change the bait on me. Come on. The enemy's not that smart, really. He's not. We all put him that he's all of this and all that. He was dropped from heaven. Man, how foolish was he? He was in the presence of God. He was high and exalted and lifted up underneath God. and he was dropped and stripped. He's not anything I want to look at. Come on. But see, he's not going to spend a lot of time on you because he's got 100 people that he can just go clip, and boy, they're just going to melt. Are you with me today? These trials are going to come. Some of you are in trials right now. And we are so moved by our emotions, by our... We have to be very careful as people. I will not be moved. Have you ever had one of your children come to you and you know that you're going to say no? And you know it's going to be no, but boy, they try to put everything they can out there. Please, so-and-so's doing it. Anybody, am I the only one? And you know, it's kind of like, when was the last time anything you've given me changed my no? I can't remember. I said no, and there's a reason why I said no. Some of us have a hard time hearing no. And we go and we position and we try to do everything. It's not really what we're going to have to hear, what we're going to get to say, what we're going to get to do. It's us being stable in what God wants us to do. Amen. Trials are not sent by God. Since he is all-knowing, God has no need to test his children to see what they're going to do under pressure. He already knows what you're going to do under pressure. Come on, he's not just saying, well, let me check on RC, how he's growing. Let me put something on him. Nor does he tempt. He doesn't just see how they're doing. He doesn't see if they'll turn away from him in sin. Jesus is made abundantly clear in James 1:13. Let's just look at verse 13 real quick. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. It's just really clear right there. Nor does it correspond with God's nature to believe that a loving heavenly father would try to get his children to do evil so that he could teach them a lesson, teach them with virtue, like humility. Would you do that to your own children? I dare to say that we wouldn't do that. No, trials are not sent by God, either to tempt us or to give us a lesson or to teach us a lesson. The truth is, trials are designed and sent by Satan, and for one purpose, to negate our faith in God and his word. Now, trials come to you with one purpose behind them, to negate our faith. We have to hear that, to destroy our faith in God and his word. Trials are not sent by God to make us strong. They are sent by Satan to make us weak. Trials are designed to cause us to doubt God and the integrity of his word. If Satan can do that, he can negate our faith. And we lose our shield of faith when he's able to do that. Are you hearing this morning? See, he comes very strategically. And he knows that he can come push a button. That's why we have to be free in Christ. He's given us freedom. Because if we're not free, if we have harboring unforgiveness about somebody, if we haven't dealt with offense, see, we are the enemy's bait then. He doesn't even have to come to us. He just has to show me a face that I have unforgiveness towards. And he could just leave me quickly and let me just mess around in my junk. Come on. Let me tell you, if you're in Walmart and you're walking this way and you see someone and you quickly have to turn, you have unforgiveness in your heart. There's something up with that. If someone irritates you when they talk or something, you need to check your heart. Do we only forgive them when they come and do right? We forgive them. Maybe part of us forgiving them is going to be what's going to help them do right. Come on. We take them off our hook and we put them on God's hook. But I'm no longer hooked to unforgiveness. I will not allow it to come and to pull me off of what the path of the Lord has in me. How can I count it all joy when trials come? The word of God is so important in our lives. I'll never forget some of the first things that came to me after some of the tragedy we went through. And some of the first things was, I don't know for sure how, God, I'm going to get up. I don't know for sure how, God, I'm going to continue. I don't know for sure how I'll ever preach again. I don't know all of these thoughts, but there was something that bubbled up on the inside of me. There was something that I couldn't deny. There was something that was on the inside of me that didn't ever come void. And I'll never forget as a child learning Bible scriptures, and I'll never forget in Sunday school learning scriptures, and I'll never forget reading the word, and I'll never forget, maybe it was just a memorization, but I'm telling you, those memorized scriptures, those things that I put in my heart, my place in my heart, they started bubbling up in me. Things like this: Darren, I ordained you. Darren, come on, I've anointed you. I've anointed you to go out and to preach the gospel. See, these things were starting to bubble up. I don't know if I ever preach again because of this tragedy, but stuff started bubbling up, and the stuff bubbling up on me that never has failed me, never has left me, has been his word. I don't know about you, but when tragedy or when trial comes, do you have anything on the inside of you that's going to be able to hold you, that's going to be able to bubble up? Because if you haven't put any in you, there's nothing in there. And he's going to come just run over you. And you're going to be emotionally disturbed and not be able to get up and stand to stand. Praise the Lord. I don't want the enemy. I've done this too many times. Father, can I take a step? Yes, you can, Darren. I'm telling you, that step in the kingdom of God is a mighty step. For many years, I've just stood still. And I'm telling you, there's victory in standing still. What the enemy wants me to do is he wants me to take some steps backwards. There are many people over the 40 years of Church Living Waters that I know very well, that I saw preach, that I saw prophesy, that I saw laying on of hands and see people get set free, have taken baby steps and are not even in local churches today. It wasn't a jump. It wasn't a great step. It was just some standing. And then because of trials and temptations and because of these things that the enemy started fishing on, they started taking a step back. Once you lose a step, oh, it's hard to get it back. And I know that, so I will not move. I will not be moved. You're going to hear me a lot say that. When I start saying I'm not going to be moved, you just know to pray for me because things are coming hard against me. But I know that God has allowed me to take a step with him, that God has given me freedom, that God has set me free, that God has delivered me from the fear of man, that God has delivered me from rejection, that God has. And so if those things start coming and fishing at me, I will not bite. No way. You have to go somewhere else. You're not going to get me to bite today. Are you with me today? Lord is calling us in this season to be disciplers. Go and make disciples. I'm praising the Lord. He speaks about Jerusalem. See, his spirit's going to fall on all of those, on all flesh, to go out to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the world. God gave me a vision again, and he's given me this vision. There are many people in this room, many people that will be in these seats that we will send out to foreign missions. Come on. Maybe they'll sit here a while. Maybe it will be like this couple came and fed a little bit. But now, boy, here all these years later in the fields of France, we will send out many young people. Many young people will be established in missions again. I would love to bring a team to France. We'll come. We'll join you. We'll support you. How many of you ready to go to France? Man, your wife didn't even raise her hand. Isn't there shopping there? All kinds of things. Shopping for Jesus, amen? This stableness, this I will not be moved. Come on. See, I'm thankful that this doesn't say I will not be moved. This doesn't say that I'm standing, that I don't fall down. It doesn't say that I don't miss the mark. My wife says this a lot, and she speaks this to us a lot, speaks it to many people she counsels. Come away from the side of the cliff. Come away from the side of the cliff, because guess what? You will fall. And if you're on the side of the cliff, riding out the side of the cliff, one of the times you might fall, and you're going to fall off the cliff. But if you come away from the side, if you fall, you can easily get back up. See, I'm not walking on the cliff. Look at me, look at me. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. 2 feet in, 2 feet out. I'm not doing that. I'm way over here saying, God, you're holy. God, I adore you. Come on, God, I'm receiving from you. God, I'm not just doing this because my parents did it. I'm not just doing it that there's joy of God in my heart. The joy of my salvation has me. It's gripped me. It makes me every day love him, adore him, what he's done for me. Amen. A lot of us are looking for what he can do for us. He's already done what he's going to do. And now, living with what he's done, there's abundant life that he has for us. Abundance is, I have enough for me and for someone else. If you're striving for more abundance than that, you have to be careful. Change the oil. Come on, change the oil. I'm thankful. See, Philip's mom knew this. She knew, hey, son, you can go buy a light. It's going to be about $25. And you can replace that light. But son, if you don't change the oil, you're going to have to get a new car one day. So whatever's wrong with the car, make sure you're changing the oil. Because you don't want to hit that oil thing. You know, I had a foster son call me and he says, you know, I've been driving your car and this oil light just keeps coming on. And now it's flashing at me. I'm like, what? Stop. Oh, he stopped, but he stopped too late. The car never started again. Why? Because he was driving it on no oil. And I wish, Philip, I was changing a light. I would have been happy if the light was 100, but no, we didn't change the oil. And I'm thankful, as Philip is saying, a real concept of the Lord, of giving first fruits. This is the oil. And there's a lot of things, like he said, because living prosperity, you'll never speak to a tither and a tither will say, man, I really blew it by giving. No, they're seeing how much more we can give because God is faithful in his word. Amen. I'm not out there looking for his blessings. I know where they are. They're right here. So I'm reading them, receiving them, claiming them, calling them, walking in them, moving in them. For me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Maybe my child's walking in a different way. I'm not there just to, oh no, the whole world's going to fall in. No, God, you have said that for me and my household. And God, I know that they might be walking a different way, God, but very quickly, I know you're drawing them back. So I pray today for the army of God to go after her, to surround her, to come on. See, if I get into this like, oh no, and I take what? Some steps back of what God has spoken to me and what he's told me. I will not be moved. Count it all joy. No matter what trial, no matter what situation, I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Yes, through the tragedy, I had to come sit right in the middle of you. I couldn't preach for a while. I really couldn't worship for a while. But on the inside, my spirit was preaching and my spirit was worshiping and my spirit was dancing and my spirit was jumping. And it just took a little moment of being loved in the body for me to rise in Christ again. No matter where you are today, no matter what's going on, no matter what trials, see, many trials have put you to sit down and you've went through them a hard way. A lot of trials that come our way is not even the enemy, it's our trial. It's because I went out and spent too much, now I don't have the rent money. So that's not the enemy even messing with us. That's me. And that's the trial that sometimes God will bail us out, praise the Lord. But there's sometimes we're just gonna have to humble ourselves and learn. You hear this from many, many people. I learned much from my failure. I learned much from the time I had to hit the floor. I learned much. I've learned much. Amen. By God. See, I don't have to go out and look for Bathsheba because I've already learned what happens. Come on. I have to already learned. And I will not move. I will not stand. I know this. I know that many of us are moved. See, as we move together in this next season, I'm believing for 100% of disciples. We're going to reach this city. And how we're going to do it is you're going to grab two or three and you're going to start discipling them. You're going to go out and find faithful men and faithful women. And you're going to be faithful to them. Yes, you can do it at Starbucks. Yes, you can do it while you eat. Yes, you can do it at a lunchtime. Yes, you can do it early morning. Yes, you can do it. And you must be stable at it. You must not be shaken. You must not be moved. You can't be up and down. I don't feel like doing it today. Today I do. Come on. Because Christ is in us. And his word will stable us. As the word came out on that video, how much word do you have? We're not here just to memorize it. We're not here just to pop up and say it. I'll never forget my first scripture I'd always come with was John 11:35. Jesus wept. There's some scriptures you can say twice because they repeat themselves. I mean, yes, I had scripture in me, but that scripture had to become real in me. I'll tell you, if you're not gaining this, you will be moved. The wind will come and it will blow you down. I'm so thankful that the body of Christ will go out and get you, but establish yourself in the word. And we will not be moved. We will be pressing forward. Some of you have great vision. Some of you have amazing things. All of you are very important to the Lord in his purpose and plan. Don't allow the enemy to let you just be unstable, double-minded. No, I will be focused on him, and I will accomplish what he's called me to do. And I will count it all joy when these trials come. Thank you, Father. Let's just stand today. Excited today because the Lord told me to end it a little differently today. Amen. I wrote in thinking today, and I always am thankful that we're not just a church that just does a couple of songs. We're not a church that's formatted. Amen. We're not a church that just has the same thing. Man, if the Lord's moving in worship, I understand the importance of the word, and the word needs to come, but we're going to sing another song. Amen. We're not going to quench. A prayer has been for 40 years. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are free here. You're welcome to move and have your way. See, a lot of us can say that, but then we come in and we say, well, come on in my way. Come on how I'm doing it. Sometimes his way just puts us on our faces. But today, the Lord just spoke to me, for me and my wife just to stand here, and we'd like to hug you today. We'd like to just embrace you. We're so excited with what God is doing in your life. You know, I just want to be led by him. I want to be that person that when he comes, he's going to find me faithful. And I want to be leading a faithful church. And I want you in all your heart to be that one that's going to be faithful. See, he asked that question because many won't be. Many have taken steps back. So I'm just going to ask my wife to come, and we're not going to speak into you. We're not going to pray over you. We're just going to embrace you today. And after you get this hug, and it's, I'm not like this, come to me. I'm the Father. I'm not God. I'm just staring. And the Lord's told me to hug today. And most of it's probably for me. He's that good. Amen. Just want to hug you, embrace you, and then praise the Lord. We got a lot moving. You saw a lot of the announcements coming. Praise the Lord for the Wednesday night classes they've been establishing. Praise the Lord for that Monday night. How many of you are enjoying Monday night? Boy, just receiving the word, just learning how to digest the word, how to move in the word. Many, many things are coming. I ask you, though, to blow off the dust off of this. Amen. You might... Only you know, and you can act and do this, but God knows. And when those trials and tribulations come, this is what's going to help you. So they're just going to worship. You can worship. Just a quick, just embrace, and we're going to be blessing. I believe this, that if God has said to do something, I believe that there's healing in this embrace today. I believe that if you're going through a trial, that joy is going to come to you today. See, when God says to do something, He's coming to meet the people. Amen? Amen. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's about what God says. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to come. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Blake.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.